Amen to that. And one wonders if we ever had the same idea and put it in the Kremlin.
There's always that possibility. I know that the master of this type of genre, Tom Clancy, had done that with his Cardinal of the Kremlin, although the Cardinal of the Kremlin, if I recall the plot directly, was just to be an information gatherer, not necessarily a key role player. But you never know. We may have, and who knows that it didn't have a part in doing something. It's probably one of those items that when someone classifies something as secret or top secret, the person who actually stamps the idea, the document, the operation, has the ability to do so for 15, 20, 30, 50 years. You know, you never know how far down the line. We see even this day and age out of the government redacted documents which indicate this operation went on, although sometimes some of the key points are nicely blacked out, so you'll never actually know perhaps the key player or the key intent of what was going on.
What would our government do without black magic markers?
I don't know. It'd be nice, though, if they could just manage to use that black magic marker on the financial ledger. I think it'd make us all rust a little bit easier.
Now, that's another topic.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's nicer to see black ink than red.
This is true. Are you going to continue in the spy genre?
Oh, I actually have a second completed novel. I wrote this first, the first book, Taken to Identity. The period was like 96 to 98. It took so long for a number of reasons. And again, as you well know, as a working dad, when you're raising a young family, trying to work and trying to meet all the obligations in between, you steal the moments to do other things when you can. So yes, there is a second one. The first novel took so long, Taken Identity, because the first computer actually crashed while I was backing it up.
Ouch!
I had put the floppy in the A drive and was backing up as the whole thing just went black. And I lost, at that point, it was probably about 50% of what I have in the current book. I had found a previous backup disk which had at least the first five or six chapters on it, but I actually had to start from scratch from that point. And then once I was working overnights on the radio in Boston, commuting from Portland, which is about a two-hour one-way trip, my wife broke down and bought me a laptop for Christmas because it gave me something to do during the course of an overnight shift. When you're playing music all night on the radio, if you're playing a nice 11-minute Lynyrd Skynyrd song, you got plenty of time to kill. So I was able to sneak in moments as well while I was on the air interacting with our listeners or whatever. But there are those dull moments between 2 and 3 a.m. when nobody's awake and you're just trying to keep the music going and keep yourself awake. So it gave me something to do. The second novel was completed far more quickly. It took about a year. It was one of those where anyone who has ever written or tried to write, you hit moments where you're straining to find the words, but then you have days where it's like, I can't go to bed, the words are still coming. And in that case of the second novel, it literally took about 12 months. So we have to, one thing at a time, I guess, is hopefully keep Taken Identity going. The second novel, the title is at the moment Southeast Distressway. And I do have a third in progress, which a couple of my helpful reading eyes have said, where are we on that? I said, haven't touched it in probably 2 years. And they go, well, you can't leave it the way you left it here. We got to know what happened. So hopefully that's a motivation for me to get back to it at some point.
Well, they say writers should write what they know. Maybe one of the future ones should have your spy be a radio host.
Well, actually, in the opening Taken Identity, we have four broadcasters who are basically going to save the country. And in that regard, I did write what I know. We have a radio newsman. We have a broadcast production person. We have a radio general manager and a former broadcast news director who's currently now in the present point of time of 1998 of Taken Identity, working in the White House as a communications director.
I love it. The power of radio rules in Taken Identity.
The fun thing about radio was to try to, and again a nod to the master, Tom Clancy, without getting too technical, to bring into some sort of vision just even a little piece of recording equipment. The early studio digital recorders, which replaced the old clunky reel-to-reels we all had to use. They called them, one particular brand was a Shortcut. It's about the size of a laptop computer. And so in order to try to describe that is to use the analogy of a laptop computer so folks could get a general idea as to maybe how big the item was. It's simple in its design, but extremely versatile and capable of being plugged in and unplugged and taken wherever you needed it to go.
Now, one last question, Chuck Igo. Many people have a novel in the drawer or in the computer. You took it a step further. What gave you the impetus, the oomph, to decide to throw it out into the world?
Well, it was with an agent. When I first completed it, I was able to, for writers who have done that successfully, and you'll forgive Lilo the barking dog in the background. I think the Sunday papers are arriving. The agent was unable, even after 6 or 7 years, to get an established publisher to perhaps go any further than the inquiry letter. And it's not that the agent wasn't a good agent, it's just at the time they said it can be any number of factors. They're inundated with fiction. They have things that are in the works which just do not allow them on that day to look at it. The second novel, Southeast Distressway, was, I'd say, like if I could put my fingers together and say this close to actually having movie rights sold. But that deal apparently fell through, which was through a third party with the agent. So eventually, during the course of the 6 or 7 years, I had looked into the self-publishing aspect. There are a number of self-publishing companies out there, and the one I eventually chose, which is Author House, the representative there had actually been in touch with me, and I would guess that these self-publishing houses have folks who check the daily logs at the U.S. Office of Copyrights when a novelist sends his or her completed work to be registered for their own creative protection. I'm assuming there's a public log of what was logged in today. And because it was within weeks of receiving my copyright notice that I received the first of many direct mailings from many self-publishers. One of the gentlemen I reached out and spoke to, his name is Rich Van Loo, was with one company at the time, and the company eventually merged and or became Author House. But he was very patient. He was not nagging, which was a great experience for me because there's nothing worse than a pushy salesperson. He was very patient, always willing even just to answer questions, even in regards to what I was doing with the agent at the time. He became a bit of a Dutch uncle for me to be able to say, well, let the agent see what he can do, and if it doesn't work, then call us back and we'll see what we can put together. Then eventually when the decision comes to self-publish, there is expense involved, but the kids need braces this week. We have summer camp to pay for, and there's always money that gets in the way. I'm pushing 50, and it's almost at the very top of the hill, and I thought, well, before I get to 50, I would like to see if we can't see this through. So I did take the action this summer to begin the process and get Taken Identity onto the shelves.
Oh, Taken Identity is a good read. And the story behind the story is one of persistence and having a dream. Thank you, Chuck Igo. The book is Taken Identity.
Peter, thank you so much for having me this morning.
It's been my pleasure. And it's conversation here on 610 WIP.